Hello, Ammar. What's the latest? You got boosted. Now you're the greatest. And by boosted, you know what I mean. Everyone else got nerfed, you big fat drama queen. Hey, Kaldari, all your ships rock. It's because you love to suck cock. ECM ships, it's just the facts. Atura skill distribution is just plain hacks. All the minis have their duct tape. Fear their hugging, you know it can rape. Dual Webbers, at such long range. If I may, I'll say I think it's time for a change. I'm Galente, and I'm pining. Blasters got nerfed, time for whining. Micro warp drives, now a bad fit. Fix my ship before I go and cancel and quit. CCP, why did you nerf me? CCP, you hate Galente. Megathrons are lame and now outstripped. I might get ganked out of my ship. CCP, please give my ship a major buff. You know you need to fix my stuff. Don't leave me as a gimp. My ship is now a wimp. Please unnerf me, I won't cause trouble. And I'll even pay you double. And I promise, no more trolling. And volunteer for free if it'll get you rolling. Wait a minute, there's a dev post. Nurse for all of you, now you'll be toast. More drone damage, a silver lining. CCP, will you just disregard this whining?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Warp Drive Active, the podcast. It is August 2nd, 2009. And you know what's really weird about this, my little cohort, Urban Mongrel?
What's weird?
It's like a week after our last one. People are going to flip.
I know, I'm scared too.
That's a dangerous
by the time
precedence.
We get it edited, it will probably be sort of July next year, so yeah, maybe it's not so weird after all.
Yeah, well, we'll try not to do that, but man, it sets a dangerous precedence. People are going to start expecting us to come out with this stuff once a week. I don't know if we can handle it.
Yeah, guys, just a little hint, to avoid disappointment, don't expect anything at all from us ever. Otherwise, you will be disappointed.
That's awesome. But yes,
<It's> true.
My name is Winterblink, and I'm joined by Urban Mongrel here.
Hello.
How has your week been, sir?
It's been pretty good. I mean, still at the new job, you know.
They haven't canned you yet?
No, I know. I'm surprised at that as well, but, you know, that's all going quite nicely. Mm-hmm. As I said, very nice people, and the work's pretty interesting. And yeah, thankfully less bureaucracy to deal with, as you'd expect in the second week. So yeah, everything's going pretty damn nicely. And yeah, this weekend I went to the Eve meet in London, which was a lot of fun, which will be discussed in far, far greater depth during the community news section.
The neither regions of the podcast, as it were.
The gonads of the podcast.
Exactly. Down there near the toes. So
your gonads are near your toes.
Dangles that far. Okay. I don't know about yours, little guy, but
anyway. Oh, you know how to make me feel inadequate already.
Anyways, it sounds like you had sounds like you're becoming productive at least in your office. Usually the first week of any new job, if it's anything like IT, you're absolutely useless. It's just because you're trying to figure out your way around.
yeah, I mean, it's just getting everything set up. You need to do your job, and, you know, you got to talk to various people and get it all organized on your computer and stuff. But, you know, I'd say it's coming along quite nicely, and so, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Anyway, sir, what about your week?
It's been good. It's been, actually, this week I had a actually not too busy work week. My brother was, I know it's
the first time that's happened since I've known you.
It's been a while, and it's actually, I mean, it's kind of because of something. I mean, my brother was in town with his kids. Not at my house, of course, because it's so not a baby-proofed house. But he was hanging at my parents' place, so I was going over there to hang out and see him, because I don't get to see him much.
And be Big Uncle Blinky.
Yes, yes, actually, that the last day was actually quite tough for the kids. They were not wanting to let me go, so one of them, my four-year-old niece, decided that I was going to get on the plane and come back with her. I'm like, only I could, but I can't, so... But and the little guy started crying when I made motions towards the door, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. So, but I tried to maximize my time as much as possible hanging out with them and my brother, because I don't get to see them much, so it was good. It was a good week. Again, it was nice not having to work overtime. However, because of it, I am now behind on a couple things that I have to do on Tuesday, which means I'll be working from home probably today and tomorrow, being a holiday here. Just, you know, trying to play catch-up. But shouldn't be too bad, though. Thank God. Don't have to go into the office at all, which is nice. So, other than that, it's been all right.
So you're going to be off on Monday?
Yes.
So I can fully expect my Facebook to be flooded to the brim with spam from you.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's already started, actually. I don't know, you probably haven't paid much attention to that because you don't pay much attention to anything. But that's already in progress. So expect that to be coming to fruition tomorrow. I'm going to have some time to focus on that.
I'm scared already.
Awesome.
Anyway, and rather surprisingly early for a Warp Drive Active podcast, let's go into in-game news.
Wait, surely there's got to be something we could talk about to delay that.
Nah, I've got nothing.
Neither, and I haven't seen Star Trek in the last week either, so can't rag on me about that. Yeah, I don't know, let's just go into it then.
Yep. Well, first up, I mean, this isn't a... It's in some ways a nice story, in some ways it's not a nice story. Channel 4 News Corp, probably not connected with actual Channel 4 News, lost 6 motherships deliberately in Tama. Basically as, you know, a tribute to a former corp mate who unfortunately passed away.
Have
you seen this?
No. What the heck happened with that? Wait. So, someone in real life died.
Yes, a gentleman called Ryan Fisher, who was a member of the Air Force. Doesn't say which country's Air Force, but, you know, certainly a serviceman.
And if that's true, then my condolences to those who knew him.
Yes, and let's say, as a tribute to them... a Wyvern, an Aeon, 3 Nixes, and a Hell got blown up.
Huh.
Gabriel Reich from Channel 4 News Team posted about it. He goes, I'd like to thank everybody who came out both to kill us and help us. The Minmartan militia actually responded first, which I thought was rather funny. Our mothership guys recording the fight got over 100 gigabytes of footage from start to finish, and us dying, it was truly epic. So that's what he's saying. He gets little insight into the fight. Every member of Channel 4 News teams knows each other in real life. He carries on to say, the fight was something we always talked about doing. It was one of those, it will never happen, but it will be awesome kind of things. In fact, we had every detail planned out and had many skills to do it amongst our oldest players, just not the funding. Then on 31st of October last year, Ryan Fisher, as he was known in the game, Flying Fish, one of the Nixes, and Fire Marshal Bill, one of the Wyverns, died in a motorcycle accident. After the funeral, we decided there and then, this never will happen dream, we were going to make it happen. So we all started training for these crucial roles in the op, and getting enough mothers' jobs to do the job. Since we were all in FW when it happened, we decided to join them for the big op as well. So it would show like we did this without any major alliances help, without any outside influences. The entire fleet that showed up was all responsible for people who knew him in the game and out. There was a few militia guys that actually got out there too. We'd hoped for more, but expected none. It was truly epic, guys. Operation Going Fishing is a total success, as we planned to lose everybody and everything in a kind of Spartan death style. Thanks for everyone who joined in the fight, and we didn't have to wait long to see it happen. Though damn, Desync hit every one of our mother ships the moment the Dreads jumped in. How typical.
Yeah.
Or we would have given you a better run for your money, lol. Maybe next time. So, thanks very much, Gabriel Reich, for that. I think that's a rather nice tribute in many ways, you know?
Yeah, it's a way of doing it. I mean, like, it sounds like everyone had fun, even though there was apparently some desyncing happening. That's kind of a bummer.
Well, no, this is what happens, unfortunately. But, you know, yeah, everyone had fun, and, you know, it's a really nice tribute, I think, actually.
Yeah.
That's a nice story for the week, anyway.
Yeah, you don't see that happening very often, thankfully. Just because, you know, tributes for anyone dying, it's kind of, it's pretty terrible. But it's a nice way to send off your buddy. My hat's off to you guys. So, I don't know if you remember, Urban, it's been forever, but we did a podcast last week. Remember that one?
What's a podcast?
Yeah, exactly. So, we did a podcast last weekend, and I mentioned to folks that, you know, hey, if you got something you want to mention about some areas of EVE that you think that we're not covering, then please forward them on. Just so everyone knows, we're not trying to be biased in any way here. It's just sometimes things fall under our radar, as things fall under everybody's radar sometimes. Sometimes really big, massive fights happen, and nobody says anything about it anywhere. It's hard for people to report on things. So, but, I mean, we got our first kind of person heeding the call. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Now, just so you know, this isn't going to be some kind of like really crazy kind of program type of thing that we're doing, kind of like how EVE TV had like the correspondence business happening, you know, like the
news clones.
Yeah, the news clones things. We're not looking for anything quite like that.
News clones, good idea. Crap name.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's nothing formal. It's just if you got something you want to say, by all means, just chuck an email. It doesn't have to be, you know, too detailed. Just some kind of summary. That's all we really need, which is cool. That we got. I'm probably going to butcher his name, but it's Krutoj. So, K-R-U-T-O-J. People.
Hello.
Yeah. Legion of Death. Your favorite. Legion of XX. Death XX.
Did he type in English?
Pardon?
Did he type in English?
Yes, he did. It was quite nicely done, too. I mean, anyway, he has some things to say about the East because he feels that we've been obviously not representing the East very well. I mean, the East is kind of a madhouse anyway, as the best of times. But
to be fair, we don't actually represent anywhere very well.
Well, exactly. That's your department. So... So he has some things to say because we were kind of wondering what was kind of going on out east, right? Because it does seem a little bit crazy. I mean, when you look over there, it looks like some kind of kaleidoscope exploded above the place. So last podcast, I think we mentioned that Legion of Death was making some moves into Ethereum Reach, that kind of area, right? Yep. And then we're looking at some space being shifted around, like some space given to, I think, RA and Viridians. Varangians. There we go. Sorry, there's an N in there. So that was given, I guess, by Legion of Death taking it over. And I guess after helping Legion of Death do that, goons are attacking Atlas and friends out there. Sort of along the lines of, remember we were mentioning that goons were saying they were going back for the birthright, and we thought they weren't actually going to do it. Turns out they are, so we were kind of wrong. Big surprise. But cool to see some stuff happening anyway. So they're out there beating on Atlas and friends, along with RA, trying to get their old space back. I guess some Northern Coalition folks came along to help, and from what Krutoj was saying here, that Pandemic Legion basically is just kind of hanging back, not taking sides, just kind of doing their little... doing what Pandemic Legion does. What else was going on? Circle of Two, some kind of... I guess he mentions it being a Serbian alliance, kind of cool, who are NC pets. We're attacking parts of the sort of northern area of... Legion of Death, for some reason. So, they got punished. They're apparently pets of Northern Coalition.
Okay, right.
And so I guess they were smacked around pretty hard to the tune of a whole bunch of ships and towers getting mangled because of that transgression.
In fact, they're out of there now.
They've got a little patch
in sort of south of Razor, but
right.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's not going to stick around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess Circle of Two, has been helped by some Venal Pirates, and Stella Polaris, probably getting that wrong, decided to reset Legion of Death, or Legion of XX Death, XX.
XX.
Well, I shall let you handle the axes from now on. then they tried to, Legion of Death decided to pop a Circle of Two Erebus, but was unsuccessful, ended up losing a carrier instead. Kind of sucks, but, next time.
It's worth losing a carrier for the shot at that, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know. What else is going on? Apparently, Pandemic Legion's been going after some of Atlas and Friends as well, in capital fleets, destroying some capital fleets, sometimes with doomsdays, apparently. Seeing that in a bunch nowadays, people actually just doomsdaying capitals, which is kind of cool, like, en masse. Remember that video that came out a couple weeks back about them, 23 doomsdays or something? I forget what it was. Kill one. It was something ridiculous like that, but awesome video, though. It's really hilarious watching it.
Big fireworks show, that.
Yeah, exactly. Other areas, I guess, in the southeast, Goon Swarm's going after Veritas and Mortalis, and otherwise, they just keep on going around in Scalding Pass and Smother, Wicked Creek, and other lawyers in the vicinity just doing what they do best, which is, being Goon Swarm. But yeah, they're going after... yeah, foe, and local. anyway, I guess that's... It's heating up, dude. Some news out of the east and southeast. This is cool.
Yep. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be heating up in the north very much. Northern Federation, the NAPs are still standing. Morris, Mihi, Tau Ceti, and Razor are just, sitting there, not doing a great deal apart from getting fat and rich.
Yeah, making money is probably the game up there.
Yeah, but it's not what we expect from the north, is it? We expect it to be the ultra, ultra hostile area.
Historically speaking, it has been kind of a madhouse, and now that's not really the case.
Well, as I said, they're getting fat and they're getting rich, but firstly, that's not terribly interesting. And I realize quite a lot of PvP isn't terribly interesting either, in terms of, getting, systems to change hands and stuff. But in general, it's a lot more interesting than just, mine a rock, or, go through a complex, And, alright, maybe if you go for, sleepers, that's a little bit of a challenge, but not compared to real PvP.
I would imagine that probably in their own areas... It won't be, there won't be too much madness going on, but I would imagine these guys are active in other areas of the map, right?
Not really. Mihi made a move against CVA down near where we live, down in the sort of, south-southeast, and frankly didn't do very well at all.
Well, I guess it depends on what... we're probably talking two different things. I'm sure these guys are out and about killing stuff, and it might not necessarily be going after territory specifically, right?
Getting killed.
Yeah. No, that goes hand in hand, but you know what I mean? Just because the lines on the map aren't shifting doesn't mean there isn't a ton of really maddening stuff going on out there.
There's not a whole lot going on up north by all accounts, really. The NAPs are holding. A lot of people are, just not shooting each other where they probably should be to make my life easier. Huh. To make things interesting.
Well, no, that's... hold on. Enemy.
In what?
In-game.
Yeah, I guess that far, thank you. What's he flying?
He's flying a hound, and I'm going to try and make a play for him. Go.
Are you in a Tyrannus again?
Hell yeah, I'm in my Tyrannus.
Got any friends?
There's always friends around.
Advantage is yours, then, I suggest.
If I can get into him in time... And he fucking warped off. God damn it.
You get his vector.
No, he's...
What's my vector, Victor?
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. Yeah, he's... That's a bummer. I was just about to lock him, too. He would have gotten a face full of void S. And a whole lot of, webbing and scrambling going on. But, he has to run. Dropped a bomb on one of my buddies, apparently. Dope.
You in head?
Yes.
Right, so still there.
Oh, he popped an industrial. Damn you. Oh well, that's the way it goes.
Indeed it does. Right, so it's all quiet really, particularly in game. It's not, you know, I mean, Providence, as they're talking to a lot of CVA guys, because they always show up, and they said, you know, we get raiding parties, as they always get in Providence from other alliances. But, yeah, it's not a whole lot going on, quite frankly.
Mm. Well, hopefully this Goonswarm action down the southeast heats up the area. I mean, well, obviously it is, if there's stuff being... there's actual action happening, but it's interesting that they're focusing their efforts outside of their own territory, so I guess maybe does that leave an opening for people? Hmm?
Well, probably not, because they've probably got it already quite locked down. I'm looking at this, there's hundreds and hundreds of sub-4 systems and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, that'll take a while.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what you've got in AAA, I mean, you're up against Atlas at the minute, really, so that's quite weird. Because
mm-hmm.
Goons are up against Atlas as well, so that's... let's go against history, guys, you know?
Yeah, that's... hmm.
It's kind of like the opposite of a love triangle. That's like a hate triangle.
Seth, you, Seth, out there with a show on English TV nowadays, a hate triangle, kind of romantic comedies, I don't know. Guys are really...
It should be, shouldn't it?
It would make things a little bit more interesting, though, wouldn't it? I don't know.
I'm the person who thinks that on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, instead of having phone a friend, you should have phoned an enemy. So you phone him up and say, what's the answer to this? And he goes, ha ha, I know, and I'll never tell you, you bastard. You'll be a poor, poor bastard. Yeah, you won't have a penny for the rest of your life. I get to screw you over. Ha ha, bitch. I think,
yeah, the conversations on the show would be a lot more interesting that way, I think.
I mean, wouldn't that just be a far, far better show? But...
just have Gordon Ramsay as one of the lifelines. That'd be a ride anyway. Just come out and berate whoever the hell phoned him on him. Just, I don't know. It'd be interesting. So anyway...
just saying, it's all an act with Gordon Ramsay, but actually it isn't. Pretty much every TV celeb, because, you know, my sister works in TV and I've got friends in it, is like they are, is completely different on camera to how they are in real life. The only ones who are exactly the same off camera and on camera is Gordon Ramsay and the Osbournes.
Oh, man. For those who don't know who the hell we're talking about, Gordon Ramsay's, just in brief, he's just a chef. I mean, he's a good chef. He owns a lot of restaurants and stuff like that. He's pretty successful, but he's also kind of an ass. Like, he yells at everybody. So, I mean, you know, go to YouTube. There's entire episodes of Hell's Kitchen on there to watch, and you can watch him scream and yell at the people on that show. Well, that's a little bit more of a reality show than most of his other stuff has been, but it's really quite amazing to watch him just rip into somebody for even the smallest things. And
I've got to say that the producers of that show are brilliant, because they get the most utterly useless crap people.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was it? One time, there was a lady who was like, she's not even a chef, she teaches cooking. So, of course, he's gonna lay into her like crazy. There was like a line cook from a cafeteria, you know, school cafeteria. There was like a prison chef was on one of them. I'm like, oh my god. I mean, it's unreal.
Anyway, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, hate triangles.
Hate triangles. So, yeah, that's the potential to get quite interesting, Goons and Atlas. But aside from the else, we really need something to happen. I mean, especially up in the north, we need there to be a hate triangle between the Northern Alliances. Yeah, the Northern Coalition.
I got a question, actually, for you, and maybe you can answer this, or maybe not. What's Kia been up to? I mean, they've just been kind of nestled down there in the southwest, and I don't know, maybe I'm not paying attention to the right channels, but I haven't really heard of them doing much. They used to be...
I haven't heard them doing anything either, yeah.
They used to be everywhere.
Yeah, Ed's has been rather quiet of late as well. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, he's usually not.
I know what's happening here. Perhaps we can ask him, on Eve TV, send questions in, like, you know, what the hell are you doing? Assuming he's going to be an expert again. But yeah, Kia have been quiet, I must admit.
I mean, if anyone wants to chuck a note or something and tell us what the heck's going on with Kia, that would be cool. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Like, chilling in period basis.
Yeah, they're just kind of chilling out there. I mean, you know, I don't know. We'll find out soon, hopefully.
Because they did have a big patch of germinate, didn't they, not too long ago?
Oh, they got creams to clean that up.
Oh, funny man.
You can go to your doctor and ask about that. Probably got plenty of products. But yeah, anyway, other than that, anything else going on, Alliance-wise, news-wise, anything crazy? In-game news-wise, I mean, it's not really much going on.
Other than
what we talked about, I mean...
Silly season, I'm afraid.
Well, for some. I mean, it's always silly season around Gunswarm. But Southeast stuff, again, we'll have to keep an eye on this. Hopefully we get some really good info from folks in other areas. Thanks a bunch to Krutaj.
Thank you.
I'm not destroying your name by pronouncing it that way. But yeah, thanks a bunch. And hope to hear from you again about another update a week from now. And let me know how things work out down there.
Oh, a little bit news on factional warfare. You know, we're talking about Bob... Was it BNC or was it DICE who were getting involved in factional warfare and not doing too well?
I thought it was DICE. Why do I think
I can't remember. It was somebody we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
But RKK are getting involved as well, and they're actually now kicking ass. They're fighting for the Kaldari. So, yeah. Hope you like that little bit of space, which... Oh, where was it? Oh, Galente. You know, we're going to make that home again.
Is anyone still playing Factional Warfare?
But RKK are, apparently.
I mean, other than them, I mean...
A lot of people seem to be playing. A lot of people seem to be quite liking it. So, yeah, who cares?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. I'm just... You remember when it first came out, everyone was just all forums where everyone talking about it and blah, 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 and nobody's talking about it. I don't know.
I was actually wondering about that. I mean, is there like a special top section in the forums?
No, and that was one of the things that everyone was saying there should be, but there never was. I mean, it was... And it just, I think everything, all the discussion of it just got generally pushed out. I would assume that any corporations and alliances that are actively taking part in factional warfare are doing so on their own forums. Like, if you've got some corp that's... You know, or a group of corps that's specifically dealing with that, then I'm sure you've got your own forums that work there. So, I don't know. I just... There's really no place for it on the EVE Online forums, which is weird.
Yeah, I agree there. There should be, like, the equivalent of code just for the lols, quite frankly. Not that code is exactly full of lols. It's full of stomach-churning moronacy.
Well, you can say that about the forums in general, almost. But yeah.
Oh, come on! Even by forum standards, code is like it's somewhere down there with like 4chan.
Have you been to the CSM forums lately? Anyway, we'll just let's talk about BAMMOS.
Yes, let's do this indeed. Who goes first, me or you?
You know what? I'll take this one.
You go for it, sir.
Alright, let me find my fail mail.
I'll take this one.
Nope, found it. Here we go. Brave Little Toaster sends us in this one. This is a maelstrom flown by Jector. I take it you have it open right there in front of you?
Do indeed, sir.
Okay, so now, I got this one because I don't normally fly Minmatar. I make fun of Minmatar, but I don't normally fly them because I really don't have the skills for it.
And you're allergic to rust.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't. So, whoops.
Oh my god.
So, I'm probably going to look for help for you on this one, but, you know, I generally speaking know the way that most ships in EVE probably should go, but the Maelstrom's kind of a funny beast, so we'll just go through this here and we'll see if you can... I mean... There's kind of some interesting fail right off the bat, but we'll get into this. Okay, so he's basically got a maelstrom, right? And in his highs, he's got... Oh, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1200mm heavy prototype ones, siege cannons. We've got some dual 650mm scouts repeating... These are artilleries. And then we got two heavy missile launchers. Those suckers are loaded with... Well, what's he got? He's got Republic Fleet EMPL in the guns. And a color Navy Thunderbolt heavy missiles, so faction stuff happening in the missiles, for the most part. He's got kind of a mix going there, right? So some of the guns are loaded with non-faction, some are with faction, which is kind of weird. In his mid-slots, what's he got? I mean, shield tanking happening there. He's got some magnetic scattering amplifier ones. You're going to hear one a lot, by the way, throughout this,
yes.
Which is kind of weird. So that's just the Indium Resistance boost. We've got invulnerability field ones, we've got the medium electrochemical capacitor booster ones, some boosters sitting in his hold, blah, 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 blah. It's 100-minute meganewton afterburner. Okay. Warp Disruptor 1, good job. And then he's got armor tanking happening in the lows. So now, you know, typically Minmatar, right, can do, generally speaking, a mix, right? Mostly shield tanking, but they can, you know, they can do some armor tanking, right?
Like, depends, not a maelstrom, but...
Yeah, like I said, depending on the ship, it's kosher, yeah. But...
I would say with Minmatar, you either go for speed tanking, or you go for armor tanking, or you go for bloody long range tanking.
Yeah,
I would say shield tanking. Sorry, armor tanking is the one you should go for there.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual, necessarily. Like at least from my understanding of Minmatar ship stuff in the fits I've seen, normally you don't usually see a lot of shield action happening. So he's got a weird mix of stuff going on here. In his lows, he's got the magnetic plating 2, hooray, tech 2 module, damage control 2, adaptive nano 2. Just plating.
You're going to have a very, very cheap fail mail section this time.
I know, seriously. Reactive plating 2. He's got a large armor rep on there. Anyway, weird mix. Not a lot of energized stuff happening here. So obviously, it's just purely just to shoehorn it into a fit, which I bet is because skills probably aren't up to par to A, load nice guns, or B, give a proper amount of grid and CPU to actually fit a proper ship. That's my guess. Hence all the tech one and named stuff. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, firstly, I mean, the 1200 siege cannons, they really, because they track so incredibly badly, you've really, really got to get out to long, long range. So,
would be probably why he has that fearsome 100 meganewton afterburner tech one. To get him out of long... You get to long range as fast as possible.
And stay there. Yeah, right. I mean, so that instantly, your heavy missiles, if you're at long range, aren't going to be that effective. You know, because they're the time they take to get there, if they can get that far, which is kind of dependent on skills and stuff, yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Maelstrom, you've got a base targeting range, base locking range of 75k, something like that.
Something like that.
I think. So, you know, you really want to be out further than that, so you'll probably, if you don't have the skills for it, want, you know, some sort of sensor booster to give you more range on that. Because the guns are probably not going to track anything which isn't going straight towards you or stationary at that range. Omni tanking. No said.
Yeah, right. I mean, drones either. I mean, you got 100 meters cubed of drone space. Use them. I mean, I know you're not ideally wanting to get in close range with anything, but for the love of God, if somebody drops like something small on top of you, you want something to take them out.
Yeah, light drones to get rid of the tackle if you just happen to be unlucky. I think we can all agree that's not, you know. If you got the space there, there's no reason not to take a bunch of light drones. It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah.
Which, given what this guy spent, it's probably quite lucky.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot happening on the kill mail, but nothing all that... like, in terms of the involved party, is nothing too surprising. I mean, you've got your nice mix of interceptors, interdictors, recons, battleships, you name it. Pretty much, it was like a
party. It is actually a pretty well-put-together fleet, because, you know, you've got... you got tacklers, you've got firepower, you've got EW. I mean, this is actually, you know, you've got anti-support. This is actually a pretty well put together fleet, I've got to say.
Did you notice, by the way, that the covert ops got 18k worth of damage on him? Oh, ouch. So, like, how did that happen? Like, he must have... like, everyone else is, like, in the single-digit damages, right? The interdictor got, like, 8%. Everything else, like, 7, 6, 5, 4... I mean, it's like... And then the covert ops has 56% of the damages by your covert ops. What the hell?
I mean, considering the sheer number of tanking modules you've got on here, this looks like it's got something like 31,000 hit points. That ain't a whole lot.
No, but... Still, I mean, I'm sure if all these other people didn't show up, that covert ops might have been the only person on that kill mail.
Quite possible. Have you put this into fitting tools?
No, I got upgraded my copy of E-Fitting. I'm behind a couple versions, but...
Well,
We'll get back to that next podcast, because that was always kind of interesting to do. But anyway, weird stuff happening on this one.
Very, very weird. Yes, not a good fit at all. As we have said about a million times, you know, do not omni tank. Do one thing and do it really well.
Oh God.
No rigs either. Have you seen this?
What's that?
No rigs.
Well, at this point, I mean, obviously with all the Tech One stuff, there's probably some skill related reasons why the person isn't putting rigs on. Or just generally speaking, they knew that he was going to lose it in a fail-tastic way. Some of the comments on here are pretty good, too. This is the one guy, SU37, goes, "I'm in love with this fit. We'll train Minmatar just for it."
I like it. It's the Titan-killing one.
Yeah,
that's going to work terribly well.
But I think TDD sums it up nicely. Like, what the fail? You know, so that's what he says in here. What the fail kind of maelstrom fitting is this shit? And that's nicely put.
Indeed it is. So, my turn?
Okay.
Well, talking about badly fitted Minmatar ships, there we have one. Oh, I've forgotten who sent me this mail. I'll find out. Whoever you are, feel very smug about this, because this is Lucian Kane of the Order of Drew, who was flying a Thrasher, right? And there's quite a lot of things quite funny with this, but the high slots aren't actually one of them. 200 mil light carbine repeating cannon ones. These aren't bad. I'm not a huge expert on autocannons, but, you know, they're nice close-range Minmatar guns, and they cost bugger all, and they do an acceptable level of damage. That's fair enough. And a minor two, though. Because that's what you want on all your PvP fits, is a minor two.
Why not?
Why not indeed? So, going down to mid-slots. Residual Survey Scanner 1.
Well, you gotta know what's in those rocks, man. Just saying.
Damn right. Small Shield Booster 1.
Just in case.
And cold Gas 1 Arc Jet Thrusters, which is basically a very, very cheap and crap afterburner.
So you can get to the rocks fast.
Well, we'll see. Low slots. 100mm reinforced tungsten plates. 1. So, yeah.
What does that add?
Completely negate any advantage you get of having this fast ship with its afterburner.
What does that add, really? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Are we talking 50 hit points, really? Anyway, yeah. That's more, but anyway.
And a small armor repairer 1, and no rigs, cargo bay, secure container, titanium sawbot small, fair enough, and dense Veldspar.
Yeah, dude's mining.
Right. But why would you only have one miner on then?
Dude's AFK mining.
Yeah, because that works really well if you don't, like, watch the screen to fire your guns.
I would imagine that he could probably... Well, it's a 0.6 system, so I would imagine no matter what is going to spawn there, he could turn everything on and it probably won't zero his cap. I'm imagining that probably, at the very least, the shields could go on and...
Well, I don't know. But let's get some of the amusing parts of this. Okay, he was killed by Koto Koroyu from the Order of Gru... a conveyor.
By his own corp.
Yes, probably out of embarrassment, but in a conveyor, which is...
That's also known as a coveter for people who speak English.
You know I can't read properly. yes, but this is... Yes, it's a mining barge, basically.
Yes.
It's a big mining barge, but a mining barge nonetheless. And he killed it with Hornet 1s. And then the Serpentis Spy got a few little pings on it as well, but not very much damage. But yes, so you were caught by a mining barge from your own corp. That's what kicked your ass.
I would imagine probably what happened here is, like, one of these situations where someone opened up a chat window with someone else in the corp or just in corp chat and said, "Hey, let me see how good my tank is." And somebody let loose with a whole shitload of Hornets and game over.
You can't fit a whole shitload of Hornets. I'm just going to pull up the stats on this ship. Bollocks. Drone bay is only 50 cubic meters. and drone bandwidth is bugger all.
Oh, so he's not going to be sending much more than one or two or whatever, right?
It's going to be, I would say, two tops.
Well,
what I think,
yeah.
What I think happened is somebody said, hey, check out my fix. And he goes, oh my god, and killed him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's possible. Roll a dice on that one, I think. It could go either way. Hilariously, somebody paid out replacement for the destroyer.
Yeah, well, probably, because it's quite good punishment, I would suggest, for this. Because I say, it's not... It's a cheap and cheerful destroyer, Thrasher, but this is... You know, it's not a mining ship. Why would you use it as one? And then, if you're going to do something, don't omni-tank. Don't fit a miner too.
Oh, dear God.
God, yeah. Well, I mean, what I think it might be is, you know, the, if you want... if you can mining... And you want something fast because you've got problems with people can flipping and stuff in the area. If you actually get a nice fast ship to shuttle it back to the a nice fast armed ship to shuttle the ore back to the station, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've done this, but you know, rather than just have somebody just sitting there in a badger waiting to die while he fills up his hold. You've done this. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah.
So, rather than that, you just get somebody in a light, fast ship who can just, you know, all right, he'll fill up his hold quickly, he'll zip back, dump the stuff, come back, you know, and he'll bring a bit of firepower, not too much. But this is not the way to do it.
No, no. I'd imagine there's a story behind this, and, you know, anyway, it's quite...
But it is a fail. It is a fail fit.
They both are.
Yes, they are indeed. Well, a fairly even one. It's a cheap week for us, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we should... how are we going to handle this? Yeah.
Well, I've got 890 ISK for the Sawbot S, but I don't think I'll go for that. What I'll, in fact, go for is the 15K for the Small Armor Repairer 1.
Boy. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, we should just make a rule so we don't have to pay out ammo. Yeah, that probably makes it easier, doesn't it? Let's see here. What else we got? Yeah, this is going to be a cheap one for both of us.
By cat booster, we call that ammo as well.
Ammo. 32K for the warp disruptor one coming your way, man.
What about heat dissipation amplifier one? That's 26.99K.
Oh, you mean I could cheap out even more?
Yeah. So I've just, robbed whoever sent you that mail of, a whole, 900 ISK. 9,000 ISK.
Oh, God. How dare you?
How could he live without that money?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find him here so I can actually send the money. Searching for his name. Found him. Give money. How much was that? How much was that again? 26.99K.
And just put fail in all caps. You know what they really should be? You know when you open up your wallet and stuff? Should be like a cash register. Ka-ching sound? Wouldn't that be just so much better?
If only.
Wouldn't that just... No, seriously, CCP. Because, you know... I did actually meet a while back. His name is Balder. You know how Icelandic names work? His name was Balder Baldursson. Who's the CCP head of audio development and sounds and stuff?
That's for people who don't know the sort of naming scheme for Icelandic. That's basically a Baldur Jr.
Yes, pretty much. But yeah, Mr. Baldur, who's a very nice chap, although being Icelandic, I didn't believe he was Icelandic because he didn't drink beer.
Huh, what did he stick with? Hard liquor?
He was all the Smirnoff Ices.
Yeah, I know of it. I'm just kind of weird to... I mean...
I know, I was quite confused by it and shocked.
I mean, well, I will say this. I mean, while it is technically classified as a girly drink, I don't know why. I mean, they're tasty as hell, and to be honest, they'll hit you hard when you don't even expect it. It's just crazy stuff. But, yeah, mostly they're usually beer and hard liquor types. Like, I guess Smirnoff Ice is kind of hard liquor. I don't know.
I've ever seen Noah's Facebook. Noah being Noah Ward, ICCCP Hammer, and his entire Facebook is entirely about drinking and booze and caps lock. Those are the only subjects he has on it.
Well, what happens is they go out for lunch, right? And lunch for you and I is probably like, you know, if we go out, it's like, you know, a burger or something like that, whatever. Yeah. For them, it's like a burger and six martinis or something, right? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, a jug of margarita.
Right, exactly. It's like, here they don't actually even open up, you know, the bars, like, for selling liquor until after, like, what is it, like 1 o'clock or something like that. So it's pretty much, whatever, 3 p.m. or something. There's an actual, like, limitation on that here, so you can't just walk in and order a drink at weird hours.
Well, the thing is, though, in Iceland, you can't, like, tell the time by looking at the sky or anything. It's just... It could be anything.
I guess... Oh, God. I guess it screws out our idea of selling sundial watches in Iceland.
God damn it! We'll have to go back to selling tinfoil hats at FanFest.
Exactly. It's been 5 p.m. for the last 4 hours. What the fuck?
Anyway. My watch has stopped.
That was terrible, but anyway, moving along. Thanks for the film mail submissions. Again, send them to Urban or I, and or I, guess. Oddly enough, one person figured it out, and something that might be handy for everyone is that what we do with the podcast show notes is we link off to Delicious. For giving you links for all the stuff that we find in the podcast, including the fan mails. If you have a Delicious account and you have bookmarks on there, you can just send them directly to us through that, I mean, on the Warp Drive Active Delicious account. So just so you know, that's a handy way of doing it. So one person figured that out this week, which was handy, because then it's just wherever we go, we see the kill mail. So anyway, just so you know, you can do that.
Thank you to that, to everyone who's clever.
Yes, that would be suns.thunder.
Hello, clever person.
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah. Oh, and if anyone's got any good ideas for sound effects, which should be in Eve, but aren't, send them on to us as well.
Just so you know that pew-pew-pew has already been done.
Yeah. But ka-ching when you open your wallet or when somebody pays into your wallet would be awesome.
Exactly. Or when you, like, you know, get potted, make a little wah-wah-wah. or the Price is Right fail music, right?
And you think my singing's bad? or when you try to fit something on your ship and you don't have enough like power grid or something, go
no. Oh yes, but then you end up with licensing issues, right? Well, I guess you would with the Price is Right music as well. Damn it! Yeah.
But with me shouting do, it could be anybody shouting do.
Great. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but then again, I work in the power industry.
Yeah.
And I'm fat.
Oh, God.
And I have facial, I have stubble, so go figure.
Yeah, kind of goes hand in hand. So, what else is going on here?
Well, what we'll do is, as I said, we'll work out something.
Hold on.
I had a clever idea.
Yeah, click, 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 click. What do we got here? Ad colors. Hi there!
Hello.
Oh! What? Who is this? No.
I wonder.
Yeah, my God. Okay, so...
Turn off your speakers because you're echoing like mad.
Am I?
Yeah.
I got headsets on.
Is it echoing with you, Blinky?
I think he has a desk mic, yeah?
Oh, you just suck. Yes.
Yeah, he's got a desk mic, so you'll just have to put up with that, Urban.
Well, I don't have to put up with it, because I can go off and make a cup of tea.
Ew.
And the listeners will have to put up with that, but who cares about them?
I suppose. Oh, man.
You know, I can move it, so it doesn't bounce.
I got a place you could put it. You could go to Urban's place and... Anyway.
Okay, is this any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better, actually.
Sweet. So, if everyone's wondering who the hell the strange voice is that suddenly appeared on the podcast, this is the one and only La Vista Vista. Hello.
Hello.
Awesome.
How are you?
We're great.
Good.
So, the thinking here is...
great.
Oh, yeah, we're fantastic. So, for everyone listening, the thinking here is that what we'll do is... every time we do a podcast, we'll haul in La Vista Vista, and he can talk about kind of whatever the heck he wants to for about 5 to 10 minutes, but hopefully it'll be ideally some kind of economics kind of an update, because La Vista Vista is kind of an economics type of guy, right?
Yeah, I like to think so.
That's exactly. Well, you're more than both Urban and I combined that way. So, so that's the thought, is that once a week we'll give this little mini updates of what's going on in EVE, economically speaking. And potentially, I don't know, because you're kind of like a CSM dude.
Well, I was until, I think it's about 2 months ago now.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, once you've been in CSM, you're pretty much a lifer in terms of being a groupie for the whole initiative, right?
Yeah, I still sit and smack all the CSM guys in our secret channel, so it's good times.
Sweet, you should let us into the secret channel.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
That's an absolute disaster waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never log in, right? I mean...
Oh, hey, I'm in right now. Where are you? You're not on. Jeez.
Yeah, you're just new guy, right?
Yeah, totally. The joke there is, of course, that I logged in today and said hi in my corp channel, and everyone's like, welcome to BDCI, and I'm like, fuck off. Oh, yeah, it's body counts. A bunch of clowns. So anyway, what you got for us this week, dude?
Well, I mean, right now, there's a lot of speculation going on, and basically, we have seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks that some of the minerals have been going absolutely crazy. If you look at some of the faction markets, you'll see that they are totally empty. And the general speculation is going that there's been a mass banning of farmers. So basically, that CCP has gone ahead and banned everything they could, be it macro miners, macro farmers, whatever, maybe even banned everybody from China, which, I mean, I'm not sure if that actually holds true in reality because of the fact that people are probably using some kind of VPN or something like that, assuming that all the farmers are from China. But nevertheless, we have seen some of the low ends, like Tritranium, has gone down by about 25%. Meanwhile, some of the high-end ores have gone up also quite a bit, like the Megaside is at a quite nice price now, and some of the isotopes have also gone up in price by like 50%, which is quite significant to the zero-zero warfare, because of the fact it's going to get a lot more expensive now to actually run a toss. So it should be interesting to see how people are going to put up with this and what's going to happen to, like, one of the crucial factors to the price of research products like blueprints, which for a long time have been saturated, is probably going to see some kind of effect because there's going to be a higher barrier to entry for doing research in a high-stake pot. And I'm, of course, having a pot myself, interested in this. And I hope that people are going to drop out and stuff, but yeah, it should be interesting to see. I think over the next month or so, we'll see what kind of effect it really have. We are still getting reports that there's actually still farmers who's getting back in the game, and if CCP is going to go ahead and ban these again, or if they're going to wait another half a year, it's really going to mean a lot to the economy and how fluctuating it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, really. I mean, the whole thing of it being because of banned accounts is still speculative, right? At this point, still, obviously.
Yeah, it's pretty much speculating. Even if there is some reasonable research having been done into it, like there's reports of some of the old macro spots being totally empty now.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Can't say I'm crying about that, to be honest.
Well, I mean, some of the anti-macro guys who's been leading off the low-sec spot with all the macros flying around in Bestowers. I cannot imagine it being fun blowing up 10 badges, Bestowers all the time. I mean, it can be fun for a small while, just getting like hundreds and hundreds of kill mails, but in the long run, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that really gets you, though, doing it. I mean, like, it's just, okay, so you kill them, they're back next day. I mean, you know, that's the way it goes.
They just got a fail fit, they can send it to us and get great cash prizes.
Yes, yeah. We just gave away, what, maybe in total 50k? What was that? How much is it? Mine was 30k, yours is how much?
About 15, so right. Not even that much.
Yeah, so it's great fun for everybody.
Oh, okay.
So short-term, long-term, what can people kind of expect to see by price fluctuations on Trit? Because for those people who don't know, this is a fairly integral component to everything.
Yeah. I think that Trit is probably going to settle between 3 and 3.5, assuming that the macros are not going to return on a large scale. What is more interesting is really the loyalty point market. And we have seen some items being sold at a loyalty point value of about 100 to 1,000 per unit. But if these macros are going to stay out of the whole equation, we will see it spike to 5 to 10,000 per unit.
Hmm.
Wow. That's a big jump.
That is a big jump.
It is.
Is it going to make Tech 3 cheaper?
No, it's not. It's actually going to make it more expensive.
Damn it!
The reason being that you need a pass to do a lot of reactions for these kind of things. It's really... I have only looked briefly at the tech-free market yet because it's been so unstable. And you have to do some of the same stuff as you do with Tech 2. So also Tech 2 is going to be affected by this. But because of the large spike in isotope prices, we are going to see some effect on the Tech 2 and 3 market.
Oh, joys ahead for everybody, I guess. Oh, man. Yeah. So, while we have you here, thank you very much, by the way, for that nice economic update. We hope to see this on a weekly basis, so block off the time, man. We need you back here. While we have you here, planning on talking about this in the community news section anyways, but you got yourself a new blog happening here. You think it just went live this week or something? What's the deal with this?
Let me just have a look. I think I started this blog a few months ago. I found out that the domain Eve and Economics put together was actually available. So I figured, you know, now that I'm not really busy doing the podcasts because of Vanilla Packs not really being active and stuff, I thought, you know, I'd ramble somewhere else. And Economics was really a neat name, I thought. So I started posting at March 1st, and I did some discussion around some of the items we had up on the CSM at the time, which was Tech 1 loot and some of the 00 warfare stuff, discussing the Serenity mechanics. And, you know, I had a bit of a break right after I left the CSM, but the last 2 or 3 weeks I've been posting quite a bit, mainly about some of the communications aspects of the CCP as an operation, which I find to be quite interesting. But generally, I'm posting there whatever my thoughts are. Just today, I've been discussing some of the things that the CSM has been doing with... Well, basically, Vuk Lau has... I think it was yesterday, he posted a thread note about how the GM team sucks. And I had a few thoughts about that. Some of the... basically, the outside the facade of the CSM and how they should be acting in terms of how professional they should be towards CCP. And I find this to be kind of interesting. So you can head over to economics.com and read more.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you chucked the URL to me to that site a few days ago, I think, now. And I bookmarked it. I still haven't had a chance to go back and read because... Okay, so warning for anyone wanting to read Lavista's blog here, you have to read it. Some of these posts are huge, which is good. Because actually, it's not just wordy, just you talking. It's actually just, there's actual good content in there, so give it a good read. It's actually good stuff so far.
Yeah, I mean, I posted a 2-part thing about the overall communication aspect of CCP, and those together were about 2,500 words.
My god. That's a lot. Yes.
Yeah, and the one I posted today was only 500. I tried to be brief.
But to be honest, there's a lot you can say about things like, you know, well, stuff on CSM and things about how CCP communicates. I mean, I think I've blogged on that in the past as well. And there's a lot of things you can say about that.
Definitely.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for coming to the podcast, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Thank you.
Yeah, your check's in the post.
Urban is sending you $500 million ISK right now.
Good. No, but I'm actually meeting up with him in Germany.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So you're buying a beer for me, yeah?
I'm happy to buy you a beer, sir. There's no problem with that.
Awesome.
Sweet.
No, wait.
Yes, you're old enough to drink now, which is good.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah. That's congratulations. Are you old enough yet to go to FanFest, or is that still out of the picture?
Well, I mean, in Denmark, I've been allowed to drink for 2 years now. The legal age is 16.
Mm-hmm.
In Iceland, depending on who you ask, it's either 20 or 21.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I understand, you can buy beer in Germany at 16, but for spirits and that kind of stuff, you need to be 18. Technically not allowed to go to FanFest.
Yeah, it's still 21, right, for that?
Yeah.
Goofy. No, well. Not too much longer, man.
No.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, what a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. But it'll be cool to have this on a regular thing on the podcast. Also, it gives him something to do podcast-wise, considering Warp Drive Active Industry Podcast is probably not going to happen again. And I've been kind of waiting a while before actually announcing that. But yeah, it's kind of just, there's two people that were responsible for it. Obviously, one being La Vista Vista, one being Vanilla Pax. Both great guys, but Benny's connection blows. And it's very, very challenging for him to do a podcast. Anyway, this should, I think, more than make up for it. This plus, of course, La Vista's blog is quite good. So, again, check that out.
And his show on Eve Radio, of course, as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got that going on, too. So, good stuff.
So you can get your La Vista fill, no problem, even if he's not with his CSM anymore.
Exactly.
So, moving on now. Time for homework assignment. So, last week, Blinky, I picked 28 Days Later.
Already seen it.
Do you see it again?
I could have, but I remember it fairly well, considering I own it. but yeah, very, very good, very good movie, that one.
I enjoyed it a lot, and again, I got a lot of good feedback, people who said they really liked the film as well, so that's excellent. Anyway, sir, what do you have for us?
I was thinking of doing another movie. I know that's kind of fantastic of me, but, it is what it is.
You are fail-tastic.
This is the way it goes. To be honest, it's a movie based on one of the coolest books that I think I've ever read. And it's, of course, The Watchmen. Have you seen this movie?
I have seen the comic book. I've read the comic book, although I'm not really into comic books.
You've seen it, you've looked at it longingly, but you...
I read the words as well, and... Yeah, I wasn't that thrilled with it, and I know there's going to be people now wanting to get my head severed.
Well, no.
As a severe warning to others who consider this a great work of art, but the comic book did not inspire me to go to see the film, put it that way.
That's probably a good thing, because I'm not actually going to recommend the theatrical release of the movie, because they released the director's cut version, which adds in some dialogue and additional scenes, which makes some things make a little bit more sense, actually, in some parts, and brings, the total runtime up to almost 3.5 hours. It's pretty crazy to sit down and watch in one sitting, but,
good bladder control for that.
Yes, well, or, a pause button.
Or an empty Coke cup.
Exactly. But in general, again, for those who don't know Watchmen, which is kind of weird, because... they were advertising the crap out of it. It's a movie based on a book, basically a graphic novel, done way back. God, I forget what year that thing came out. But it's a pretty epic graphic novel. Basically, it talks about, a lot of things. It's a huge commentary on society in general, which is kind of... It's very heavy for something that some people consider to be just a comic. And thus, the movie is sort of along the same lines. They've captured, I think, quite well... being that it was directed by the fellow who did 300, they captured quite well the essence of the book, and every scene seems to be like it's almost taken from the graphic novel stylistically and then done in live action, which is quite a challenge given the subject matter. But I thought they actually did a great job of capturing that whole spirit of the book. Good casting. It was very well done. Characters like Rorschach, you gotta love him. It's pretty awesome stuff happening there. Don't approach it like, another comic book movie. Even though it is a comic book movie, it has a lot to sort of say about people and the world today, and it's kind of one of those things that if you don't kind of get it, you're probably not going to like the film or the book, but it's kind of interesting. And I hear that what they're planning on doing is Since you read the book, you know this, but in the book, there's like the kid at the newsstand who reads a comic book called The Tale of the Black Freighter or something like that. You remember that a little bit? Like, there's a whole pirate ship business going on. So that's... They actually were going to do that as part of the movie, but of course, runtime issues made it hugely long to incorporate it. So they released it on a separate Blu-ray, which you can go and pick up and watch that as well. But I hear that there's actually an ultimate edition of Watchmen that's coming down the road, which will then take the director's cut version at 3 hours and 20-some minutes or something, and incorporate the Tales of the Black Freighter part into this as it was in the book. Which is almost like having a whole other movie in there. I mean, it's like something like 40 minutes of additional footage. And it's pretty crazy to do, but, you know, there you go. So, just so you know, if you want to rent this, I'm not going to blame you, since there is another edition coming out soon, and the double-dipping thing is quite annoying. But, anyway, I really, really enjoyed the movie. I think I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought it would, considering the reaction I was hearing from people about the theatrical release, even though I really, really enjoyed the book. So, give it a try. Let us know what you think. Yeah.
Is it only out on Blu-ray?
Yes. No, sorry. It's out on... should be out on DVD and Blu-ray, actually, now. So you should be okay with getting either. Or, I mean, if it's only on Blu-ray, dude, you should just get yourself a PS3.
I haven't got my first paycheck yet, and there's quite a few things which are going to be coming out of that.
That's what credit's for.
This is not a good time to go looking for new credit cards.
It's the perfect time. Support the economy. Traitor.
When you don't buy on credit, you're supporting terrorism.
God, no, I know you are that old shell. I've been avoiding using credit cards for most things. Just, you know, it's one of those things nowadays. It's too easy to use. But anyway,
well, the only thing I use a credit card for is if, you know, you're working like away from home, or, you know, work since you're away from home. You pay the hotel bill with your credit card, and then work will pay you back the money. So you use that to pay for your credit card. But then, you've got the air miles in the case of my credit card, which is probably a bit cheeky, but, you know, I don't think anybody has complained about this. So, yeah, I get, like, free air miles for stuff which work is paying me back for anyway. But I never use a credit card to buy stuff for me personally. It's just, you know, if I don't have the money in the account, I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't think that there's a way they can actually ding you for having air miles off of corporate purchases anyways, but... Yeah, fun stuff.
To be honest, I don't know, but if I don't mention it, they don't know either.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to care. Like, on your corp, it's just, you know, meh. Anywho, what's up? Let's do some community news, eh?
No, let's do what else have you been playing first.
Okay.
What else have I been playing? I've been getting back into Hearts of Iron 2, which I don't know if you know this one.
Mm-hmm. What is inside an iron?
What's inside iron? It's like little atoms with 56 in atomic weight and stuff. No, it's Hearts of Iron 2 is it's a World War 2 game of grand strategy. So, you know, you're moving armies around the map, but literally the smallest size of any particular unit is like a division of 10,000 men. So, you know, you've got our entire groups of squadrons of planes, or entire fleets of battleships. You know, it's talking massive-scale World War II strategy. If you've ever played, like, Axis and Allies, it's not a million miles from that. The reason I'm playing that is actually Hearts of Iron 3 is out on the 5th of August, which I do want to give a try for as well when it appears.
Cool. So what are they doing? Just updating, like, the graphics engine or something? Or what are they actually adding?
It's 3D. They're adding 3D, so it's I don't. It's a very, very deep game though, because, you know, for example, you're setting your teams what to research. You know, so for example, I'm the British, and we've got really, really good people for, like, you know, decoding stuff. So I'm getting Alan Turing to. I'm not kidding.
Nice. That's awesome.
So I'm getting Alan Turing to research, like, computer systems for breaking codes, and that will actually have an effect in your battles in the field, because you'll have, like, you know, better information than the other side. Yeah, things like that.
So if you're playing Germany, can you go and kidnap Alan Turing and use him on your side?
Afraid not. However, you can send your spies to try and kill him. or government ministers and stuff is very unlikely to work, but it can be that. Or you can sabotage people's tech streams and things like that. But yeah, each country's got its own tech stream, so you're researching technology. For example, again, as Britain, you've got the Rolls-Royce, who make amazing aero engines. You know, so you use them for designing those sort of things, and designing planes. Actually, I don't think Rolls-Royce is in the first game, it's not in the second game. But you've got things like Supermarine, who made the Spitfire, who make amazing planes, so you can get them to research for you. Things like that. You've got hundreds and hundreds of different technologies, and it's not just technologies, but you've also got... you know, strategic things, so you can research how your army fights. So, for example, you go down, like a blitzkrieg route, where everything is like designed around movement, or you can go around a firepower route, which, you know, the Allies went for. I think that it's a very, very good, very deep game. Hearts of Iron 2.
How does it compare to something like Total War, the Total War series? Like, are we talking same level of depth, or more or less, or completely different?
More depth, much, much more depth, but everything's on a much bigger scale as well.
It's worldwide, right? It's basically like
take
over the world.
Yeah. And the other thing is you can play as any country in the world. You know, you can literally play as, you know, sort of some tiny little islands in the Pacific. Nothing much is going to happen there, but...
You can play as Mauritania, like the most obscure country out there.
Yeah, you can play as Afghanistan, so you're landlocked and nothing much happens. You know, you can play as a puppet state, even. You know, Manchu Kuo?
Huh.
Which was the a Japanese puppet state in China. If you see The Last Emperor, it's based on... Yeah, it's the emperor of that, Pu Yi. But anyway, you can play as these states. It's a very, very deep game.
Can you play as India and take over Britain?
Yes, but the thing is, India starts off as part of Britain, but it can get its independence. Part of the British Empire, but it can get its independence.
Can it then go take over Britain?
Potentially, yes.
Cool.
But it's also got what's known as a Doomsday expansion, right?
So, what, you can jump in an avatar and nuke a whole country?
No, you can research atomic bombs and nukes and stuff. The thing is, it is crazily expensive in terms of resources and in terms of your tech teams, but yes, you can make atomic bombs and nuke people. But one of the things they've got the Doomsday expansion, which is, you know, 1945 when the war ended and like Russia and America were there. It's what would happen is if the Russians didn't and the Americans didn't stop, what would happen if they both actually went to war with each other? Ooh, once, you know, ooh. Germany and Japan had been defeated. So it's a yeah, and that can go on to like the Berlin Airlift in like 1949 and stuff. The whole game goes to like 1953, so it's between sort of 1936 and 53.
Hold on.
You can imagine the world changed a whole lot in that time.
Hold on. Get out of the bubble. Lock
what?
Target. Damn it! Warped again!
Bam!
Sorry, I was trying to kill a nemesis. Didn't happen. Got him locked, though, then he warped. You son of a bitch.
Now, what else have you been playing?
What have I been doing? I've been actually playing a whole pile of Battlefield 1943. It's so much fun playing that game, dude.
The thing is, I do the big scale war, you do the little scale war.
Yeah, like, you know, it's only three maps, but my god, is it so much fun. I mean, it's like the old Battlefield 1942, right? It was fun even on just a couple maps, and it was like, this is kind of no different that way, but, yeah, it's so much fun. You, like, you know, as a scout, you have, like, little C4 charges and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you go take a Jeep, put a bunch of C4 charges on it, switch to your car bomb, exactly. You basically just drive it into a base, jump out, it rolls up to a bunch of guys, and you're like, boom! And it's like, oh god, you piss people off like crazy in that game, it's so funny. you know, I'll do things like, I like the airplane, so I'll go around in a counterclockwise or clockwise motion, whichever one fits the map, to make it so I'll be buzzing past the enemy aircraft carrier periodically. And then as guys take off, I'll just shoot them. It's just, they'll get 3 feet off the deck, just far enough that I'll get points for the kill, and then I'll just shoot them, and then just keep doing it. And the point is, if you time it right, you'll get the same guy every time. It's like, dude, just get on the anti-aircraft gun and try and kill me. I don't know.
They never do that, though. People never do that.
They never do. What else have I been doing? Playing some Grand Theft Auto 4, because I think I mentioned a while back I rebought it on the Xbox 360 for multiplayer, but I've been playing a single player like crazy again. So still going through that one.
Is Nico still emo? Yes, he is.
Yes, oh hell yeah. What else have I been doing? Been trying to play some Fat Princess online, but that's having real big issues with connectivity.
Fat Princess online?
What? The PlayStation Network game. It's exclusive to PS3. It's called Fat Princess. It's like you got these two castles at the other end of these maps. It's all these little cartoon guys that you play as, right? And there's two teams, and basically what you're trying to do is trying to get into the other guy's castle and steal your princess back. Right, and get her back to your castle. So how you stop someone from doing that to theirs is that, well, obviously you defend your castle, you fight them along the way, and you feed cake, which randomly drops around the map, to that princess, and she gets fatter. And the fatter she is, the harder it is she, you know, to haul her around. You need more people helping you out, so it becomes more challenging. So you keep feeding her cake, and it's all done with cartoony stuff. It's not meant to be insulting or anything, but it looks hilarious. The graphics are great, like it's all very cartoony and stuff, but really cool style. It's gory as hell, like you're cutting people in half and stuff. Like it's funny to see that level of gore in a cartoon game. And so it's pretty enjoyable even if you're just playing against bots, but obviously the main thing is the online modes, and I haven't been able to do that.
I'm just looking on Google Pictures, and some of them, it looks really fun, but there is one truly, truly horrible picture.
Uh-oh.
God.
Which one is that?
Fat woman eating cake.
Oh, yeah.
Fat woman eating cake.
A lot of that going on. But it's neat, because you can't just... It's a lot of team coordination. You don't just rush and attack, and, like, you have this whole... Oh, the nemesis is back. Going for him. Hold on. Stay there. Come on.
Look, damn you, look!
Damn it!
Could somebody just go to HeadGP and let Winterblick kill you?
Wait, you know what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna park it at the top of the bubble. There. If he comes back, he ain't gonna be happy. Anyway, but as I was saying, the point is, it's not just a rush. You have to actually, like, you have all this upgrade stuff you can do to the different dispensers of hats. There's all these hat dispensers, and each hat does a different thing. So you pick up the warrior hat, and you're now a warrior, right? And you pick up, like, wizard hat, and it's like, boom, now you're a wizard. So these hat dispensers can be upgraded to more powerful versions of those roles. And then you can upgrade to various parts of... Ooh, a hound. The hound is back.
Guess who's back again.
Damn it, he warped. Well, the thing is they warped in right on a whole bunch of other guys, so they just turn around and run. You have to upgrade different things of your base. You can build doors, you can build a catapult, which lets you actually fire yourselves and your team over to the other guy's castle, which is absolutely hilarious. Do little raiding parties that way. But all this happens concurrently with the actual fighting, so you can be like a builder kind of a guy, right? So your guy goes out and like mines ore and like chops down trees, brings it back to the base for upgrading everything, and you get points for that as well. So it's a lot deeper than just a standard, you know, your castle, my castle type of game. So anyway, I hope to get on to multiplayer on that one at some point. Other than that, the only thing that came out this week was they had an update for Wipeout HD on the PS3, and I love the Wipeout series, even though it's sometimes one of the most frustrating games out there. But they released a new one called HD Fury, and it's just ridiculous what it adds, like all these new tracks, new cars. I'm surprised you're not into Wipeout, dude. I mean, obviously you need a PS3 to do it, but it's...
Well, that would be why then, wouldn't it?
It's pretty awesome. It's a UK developer that makes it, and they're really good.
I remember Wipeout from way, way, way back in the game day. Back in the game? Back in the day. Yeah. Good fun.
Yeah, and of course the new version of it is just, like, looks phenomenal. Has an awesome soundtrack, as always, and yeah, again, like I said, it can be frustrating. If you don't play it constantly and you put it down, it's like all of a sudden you suck at it. Like even the NPCs, like when you're playing just against a computer, oh my god, they'll slaughter you. So it can be quite challenging once you go up through the ranks, but that's another thing I've been playing. So other than that, not much.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right then, community news.
Yay, community news. What's going on? Oh. I mean, we mentioned earlier that Curzon Dax had a new parody out, right?
Yep, and you've heard it as the intro.
Yes.
Nice to see you back, Curzon, because you did leave the game for a bit. Good to see you back.
Mm-hmm. And we'll
singing again.
We'll drop a link in the show notes to the this is a general thread that he's got. Oh, the Nemesis is back. Sweet. Where did he go?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and Blinky's going, damn, damn, damn.
Nah, he's dropped his bomb, now he's running. He's doing actually a pretty good job of that.
He's pissing you off.
Okay, he's gone again, but he will be back, and when he comes back, he's gonna get a surprise. Oh, he's being chased. He's being chased by another Tyrannus. That's probably why he's taken off.
Anyway, so while that's going on, moving on, the expert team for the 7th Alliance tournament has been decided on, says CCP Charlie. Charlie says, meow, meow, meow. Now, you probably get that in. Did you ever get that in? That Charlie says, look both ways before you walk across the road. And this horrible, cheapy government cartoons. You know, trying to make us better citizens and stuff. Do you remember that?
No.
You never had those. Oh, well.
Isn't this really old news?
No.
Posted 6/24, man. We talked about this already, I think. My God. Fantastic.
We talked about this. I thought this is 8/24 or 7/24 or something.
Six.
Oh, well, anyway. We didn't talk about that, but Croven's back as an expert, as is Kill 2. And joining for the first time is T-Days. Drizbuk, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it, and Rias Nay.
Hmm.
So, okay. Pretty strong team. Team Yankee Doodle is back.
Team Yankee Doodle?
Yeah, that's what Stevie SG kept calling Croven and Kill 2.
Hmm.
You remember that? No, you didn't watch that tournament, did you? You just were like, you know,
working.
Having a life or something, yeah.
Sometimes it happens, man.
Yeah. But, yes, Team Yankee Doodle are back, which is ironic, because Croven's from Texas. He probably wouldn't really like being called that if he wasn't such a, you know, easygoing, nice chap.
Why wouldn't he like it?
There's a lot of history there, shall we say.
People should grow up.
Well, yes, but Croven has grown up, and as I said, he's an easygoing, nice chap, and, you know... It's good to see him back, good to see Kill 2 back, and you know, I expect excellent things from these new people. I mean, it's a pity we haven't got some of the old school guys back, you know, like Verone. I would have liked to see him back, but you know, I spoke to him in London, he just said unfortunately he couldn't make it due to, you know, time pressures, but there'll always be more tournaments. I hope to see you in future ones.
Indeed. And speaking of the tournaments, they announced recently their whole thing for the FanFest tournaments, what they're doing, and they're calling it EVE Cubed. Because apparently they're being really clever with this. It's 3-on-3, all tech 3.
Sexy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, neat. I don't know what you thought of this, right? Oh, he's back. Nemesis back. Hold on.
Just give up.
It's okay. It's going down this time. All right. They actually got someone with that one.
Well, he popped him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing a good job, actually.
Well, these are idiots that are idling by our jump bridge. Anyway. So
they expect you to protect them, but no.
Well, they warp there and then they go and I don't know, get a coffee or something. I don't know. But anyway, they're doing this whole tournament thing, and they are now every year they kind of do something different with it usually. And this year is ironically enough no different. They're going with this whole 3-on-3, so teams of 3 versus another team of 3, and everyone has to use tech 3. Pretty cool stuff. I mean, it'd be neat to see what stuff people come up with, because normally this is kind of the fun part about the tournaments. Is like, you know, how, you know, what do people come up with for these things? I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting, cause especially since Tech 3 stuff isn't getting a whole lot of play yet in the game itself proper. So I imagine you'll start seeing teams, obviously, that are registering for this heading to the test server to start playing around, right?
That's what I'm sure most teams do, is you go on scrimmage, don't you?
Hmm.
You know, and so, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good. So what are we expecting in terms of ships? Because I'm expecting a lot of full gank ships, like, you know, the Proteus and the Legion, because they go really, really well in full gank configurations, as I understand it.
I was playing with the Proteus on Singularity the other day, and yeah, that thing, I mean, it's ridiculous. I really want one, like, actually really in-game, but boy, oh boy, you know, I was just playing around with different configurations, and holy crap, can you armor tank in that thing? I mean,
yeah, yeah.
It's like a that's block of trit with engines. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But not, yeah, if they've got mining lasers, you're in trouble.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even then, that's the thing, is that you get so many lows, you can just give yourself a, you know, an armor tank from hell, and you can put weapons on it, and so it's tough. My God.
Not just that, though, but you got things like, you know, the nanobot injector, just, ooh, evil tank, or augmented plating, just give you a massive passive tank.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah. I can see that being a very popular ship, and again, I can also see the Legion being a very popular ship.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want one of those, too.
But it's so hard to kind of, you know, predict what people are going to use in this tournament, right? Because, my God.
Because they're cleverer than us.
Well, there's that, but there's also the fact that it's like, you know, we can theorize on a particular ship, but what people do with those subsystems and fitting and stuff is almost completely, you know, the sky's the limit, really, is what it is.
Yep, so, well, we're looking forward to that as well.
Definitely.
Apparently there's going to be, like, a big tournament viewing area and big screen and commentary and all sorts of grooviness, so that'd be awesome as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so much tournament goodness coming up.
Awesome.
Next up, you know, I went to this London meet.
Yes, you did.
And it was epic.
Did you meet some London?
Yes, I met quite a lot of London.
Awesome.
It was a good, really good time. I mean, I've forgotten a load of people's names, so apologies in advance if I get it wrong. But I mean, all sorts of things. Like, you know, I won an arm wrestling match.
Okay.
I won 100 million ISK in my arm wrestling match.
Versus an EVE player. This is okay.
Oh, no, but the thing is, using a very, very cunning strategy.
He tickled you?
No.
You tickled him?
No.
You...
I let him have 5 matches beforehand, each of which he won, so he was knackered by the time he went to click on me.
Oh, that's just cheap. Cheap,
hey!
Sir.
Strategic.
But so you won, so what did you win, though? Like,
100 million ISK.
Have you been paid it yet?
Yeah, he won like 400 million ISK, though, from the ones he had beforehand, so worked out really quite nicely.
Not bad, not bad at all.
What else did I do? God, what's her name? Eve girl with pink hair. I went around all night calling her mistress just to try and start some rumours about it, you know?
Nemesis is back. Oh, God damn it.
I'll just carry on talking because, you know, frankly, all that's going to happen is you're going to go, damn, I failed to get him again. So anyway.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job of this. He just popped another fucking ship.
They expect you to protect him, and no, it failed. Did you see the pictures of the cake?
Yes.
Yes, it was the birthday for Midnight of the guy who set it up, and also the birthday for Rog Blake, who is, you know, our friendly Armar bigot and zealot.
Mm-hmm.
not fair. Rog's a really cool guy, but he does roleplay this, you know, CVA bigoted Armar guy. But anyway, so, yes, there was a Minmata cake, which was surprisingly not made of rust and rubbish, but actually made of chocolate, which is delicious. And he also made a load of little Fido cupcakes, which are also delicious. And he made, like, a cake with his Corp logo on, which, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to try. But given how it disappeared, was probably also delicious.
So, this Minotaur cake. Yes. I know that you took a picture of this and you slammed it up on your Facebook, which is cool. Not a challenging cake to make, right?
Not especially, no. I wouldn't say. Of all the races.
So this is just a circular cake that you just kind of cut the little swoopy bits that come off of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think we talked about this and I said, you know, wake me up when he makes, like, the Galente logo. Come on. Do it, man.
Eldari logo cake would be quite a challenge as well.
Yeah, but if you... I don't know, the Galente logo's got all sorts of stuff happening there, man. It's an actual...
shield with a bird on it.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
A bird. You get the talons and everything. Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting to see if you could do that.
Yes. So that's a challenge for you people for your birthday cake.
Still, but I will say this. The man can bake a cake.
Yes, he
I think he
baked several cakes, and they were all excellent.
That sets him up there in the EVE player sort of groupings, upper percentile type of person, being able to actually bake a cake.
Well, having some form of a life skill.
Yes.
Yes, I know. I know. I'm scared too. There isn't a whole lot of pictures up there, and if you're not my friend on Facebook, you won't be able to see them, so ha. I might put them up on Flickr, but the trouble is they're all taken with my iPhone camera, so the quality's really not much, frankly.
What, the iPhone itself or the pictures?
The camera in the iPhone is rubbish.
See what I did there?
Yes, you're well funny. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, the iPhone isn't up to much as a camera, so... anyway, it was good, and... met Verone there, who bought a whole load of champagne for everybody to celebrate Vito, which was awesome of him. And, you know, Verone is a solid gold guy, as we all know. And what else did we do while we were in there? Just drank a lot, really. But yeah, really good fun EVE meet. Made a lot of new friends. One thing though, you're right, I shouldn't have worn the Cake is a Lie t-shirt.
Like I said, dude, trying too hard.
No. It's just everyone bloody came up to me. It's looked like, the cake's not a lie, it's there. And it's like, you're the 43rd person to tell me that, god damn you. Shut up, please. Find something original to say.
Find an original t-shirt. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That is an awesome, awesome t-shirt. I think none of your t-shirts are that good.
Maybe what, last year? When the game came out?
There was one better t-shirt there, though. Which is somebody had this t-shirt saying, there's no place like 127.0.0.1.
God, was this an old joke convention? At the very least, I was expecting you to say it was like the skin-tight baby tee on the hot blonde behind the bar or something, but no. Yeah. Urban. Oh, he's back! Damn it, he's already launched a bomb. It's a quick one, this one.
There's all dudes behind the bar.
Well, you see, here we have girls who bartend too, so I don't know.
Yeah, but this bar was all dudes, so...
Damn it! Anyway, it sounds like you had a lot of fun there. That's really cool. I mean, it's like one of these things that there's just not a lot of EVE meets around here. It'd be nice if someone organized one. Maybe I should do that. I don't know. One of these days.
Maybe you should.
Maybe.
But, you know, you've got FanFest coming up as well.
That is coming up now, isn't it? What else is going on? Let's see here. There is a post that caught my eye this week from Quantar Ralskin, who apparently is a big fan of Homeworld, as I think a lot of people were, because that game was awesome. I guess he set up like a Homeworld game for EVE players to play on. I think he's actually doing it through Hamachi or something. I don't know if you know Hamachi, but if you don't, he's probably got some info on his thread, which we'll provide in the show notes. Did you ever play much Homeworld?
I did, for a while, yeah.
Were you good at it or bad at it? If you only played a bit at it, you're probably pretty bad.
I got to the end of the single-player game, got into the multiplayer and got owned.
Yeah, and multiplayers.
I blame that on the fact that I wasn't a 56k modem at the time, although it probably doesn't cut much ice. I probably do suck.
No, it's a tough game to play multiplayer sometimes. People are very, very good at it. But anyway, someone set up a nice game for folks to play, people who are EVE players who also like Homeworld. So yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't...
I haven't tried the server yet, so I don't know how good it is kind of running. So, but your miles may vary.
I do remember Homeworld. You know when they got the first, you first log into the game, first start playing single player mission, mm-hmm. and you've got like all the graphics coming up, and you know you see this little intro movie. You know, it's just all going there with the mothership leaving the dock for the first time and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you know that woman's voiceover and stuff, and you're watching that and you're thinking, wow, that's a really nice intro. That looks really good,
mm-hmm.
and then like. You get there and it's suddenly going to the game and you're there like going, holy crap, it looks like this the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that feeling?
Oh yeah, that's, to be honest, that's what I thought when I first logged into EVE. Don't want
that, again, I did that with EVE as well,
yeah.
But yeah. But first time I saw that and it's like, holy crap, this is what it looks like in the actual game? This isn't just like some intro?
Yeah, that game was,
I mean,
really impressive.
Nowadays you'll look at it and you probably wouldn't see it, but it was so, so far ahead in terms of graphics.
To be honest, even now though, it's still impressive. Like, I'm not gonna say it's gonna like completely, you know, blow your mind or anything, but I mean, even, it's still an impressive game now. It's, you know, Homeworld 1, Homeworld 2, it's all good. You know, it's just one of those things. It was really kind of a cool style, really fun gameplay. And my God, I mean, the first time you actually, one mission I was on, I forget which one it was, but there was like, you know, three fleets come in from in front, behind, and below. And you're like, what the? Oh God. Because, you know, the whole three-dimensional thing was really, really new then for strategy games. So I was like, okay, this is getting interesting. So you have to learn how to really split your forces up. Anyway, EVE podcast. Another interesting thing that kind of came up. See here. Lord Wumpiri. Probably screwing your name up, pal, but that's all right. Whoops. Trying to send...
We never did that on this show.
No. No, never.
You just sent me the letter O.
I did, because I was pasting the wrong thing. There you go. He has himself a new EVE tattoo, a third one, and he got a Nikuni bloodline symbol. Ow. But, I mean, cool.
Cool, but ow, yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting for this to load. Yeah, there are some hardcore EVE tattoos getting done.
Yeah.
That is actually pretty cool.
It is cool. It's actually got, you know, shading and stuff. It's not just a flat,
yeah,
dark, you know, logo. It's actually got some nice shading done to it. That's a good job.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'll never get an EVE tattoo, but I respect people who get them.
Yeah, apparently he's got an Amar one and a Canid one, Canid, whatever. That's further down in that particular thread, which we'll link up in the show notes, where he's actually got, he's got an Amar logo, like I said, and one of the Canid logos as well. And they look about sort of similar styling, you know, just the kind of same, similar colors at least, but... Yeah, interesting stuff. I mean, yeah.
Some absolute imbecile said freckles are disgusting in that thread.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to EVE.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier, of course, the EVE Economics blog by La Vista Vista. Yeah, check that one out. That's a good one as well.
Yep.
And probably the biggest community news this week, last couple weeks, I suppose, is the whole issue of, if you're using the forums, pay attention. There is currently a bunch of people trying to get your accounts. So what has apparently been happening is some people have been posting threads that bring you to content which will install keyloggers on your computer, and next thing you know, they're stealing your passwords, hacking your account, taking all your assets, and it's not so good.
So, for example, this one in the events and gatherings section called Naked Woman Caught by Satellite Watch, which I'm currently reporting to the GMs, is almost certainly one of these.
Actually, I think it's not, but...
really?
Yep. So... Anyway, that one's been there for a few days, dude.
No, literally, only just went up.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but it's got some external links to pictures, and I'm thinking,
oh, yeah,
I think this is dodgy.
Yeah, they've been popping up, and, you know, CCB's been trying their best. What have they got going? Like, if you try and click off to a link, it'll come up with a warning, obviously saying, hey, here's your link. You sure you want to go there? Yes, no? You know, like, it's trying its best to protect you, but you have to pay attention. And keyloggers are one of those really finicky things that, depending on, you know, what kind of scanning you've got actively running on your system, like, you know, it's not technically a virus, you know, just just be careful, because you might end up getting these things and not knowing it until it's too late.
Be careful is good advice here.
Yeah, so just watch what links you click on. And, you know, again, this has been a pretty big problem, like at least last week. And it's
not just Eve, though.
No,
every single
of course
MMO
not.
Has been like this.
I know it's not just Eve, though, but the problem is that it's been hitting Eve really hardcore, which is probably related to a lot of actions that they've been doing against, you know, like we were talking earlier with La Vista Vista. They've been doing a lot of banning lately, so some of this is probably, you know, some revenge, reciprocity type stuff going on. So just, like I said, be careful. Watch what you click. Double up.
Yep. So, hold on. I'm just going to report this particular thread in the forum, so give me 2 seconds.
All right. Urban's being diligent right now.
Yeah, well, I know. It does happen occasionally.
If you listen carefully, you can hear the diligence.
Can you?
Might sound like little squeaking noises.
But there's some good big news. Which happens to be a new Eve video which completely broke Facebook because everybody linked to it. You know the one I mean, don't you?
Of course I know the one you mean. Yeah, this is the whole butterfly effect video. Woohoo! It's pretty good, although some people say it's not. Those people are weird.
Yeah, some people say it's not, but they're wrong.
Again, like something that should be very clearly stated to people, this video is not necessarily geared towards the Eve player. It's awesome, but you know, this is meant for people who are, you know, obviously it's marketing, right? It's meant for people who aren't playing.
Yep.
But yeah, really good. I actually ended up blogging about this on MitchBlink.com, shameless blog, that basically just talking about how close it is to actual Eve life. So, Urban, you should probably check that out. And
it's not that close to Eve life. That's the point. It was a kind of sugar-coated version of Eve life.
There's a hypothetical... Yes, you could potentially end up with things like that. Like, I would probably say, in my time in Eve, I've experienced, at some point, all of that, but not necessarily in the same session.
Yes, exactly.
But the very sound.
I don't think I've ever recall helping a miner who's being attacked by pirates.
Okay, that part might be a stretch, other than a friendly miner, and usually just against NPCs. Like, we're talking like Corp Guy or something like that. But
yeah.
But no, it can happen. And certainly joining up with a small roaming gang and suddenly getting hauled into a larger gang that becomes a fleet, and next thing you know, you're killing your frame rate.
That does happen.
That
yep,
does
I
happen,
agree with that.
Although slightly less now so than it used to. I mean, like, not in the way that the trailer necessarily depicts. You don't, like, one of the points I made in my blog on it was, like, you don't normally see the large roaming battleship gangs unless they're heading somewhere fast, or, you know, if they want to get there really quick, they'll just, you know, usually people just, you know, you end up doing a bridge or something, right? But, you know, for the most part, you don't see battleship roams, right? Remember the day? Battleship was king, now it's all, like, you know, smaller class ships, hacks.
Nanoed up, yep, I know. Still today, nanoed up.
Yeah, hacks and hictors, a lot of smaller roaming gangs. But, certainly, still plausible. You wouldn't necessarily meet up together and roam together, but you might meet up in an area where a battleship gang is currently in place, whatever. Stuff like that. But, certainly plausible. Yeah, definitely sugar-coated. Some pretty awesome voiceover work, eh?
Yeah. We all know where that came from.
Yes. Well, maybe we all don't know, but Urban and I know.
Yes.
But yeah, some people have, you know, made fun of the whole voiceover thing. I'm going like, alright, so it's not Aura. So it's not your regular Eve video, which is like, you know, moody, random phrases strung together, woman speaking stuff, kind of just vistas of Eve and blah 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 blah, but it's different, and it's nice that it sets itself apart from your regular game trailer, right? Like, think of another game that does this. Like, there's nothing, and I bet you any money someone's gonna rip it off.
Well, the CCP are always ahead of everybody else when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what I want to know is how many people are now, like, training up Minmata Frigate 5 just to fly wolves now, based on that video.
Well,
I wonder how many people are doing that.
That was kind of the immediate funny in that whole thing, actually, for me, was like, wait, assault frigate? What? Like, really? Well, I mean, they're okay, and certainly the wolf is an excellent one, but it's just, like, you just don't see it very much.
You do, it depends. They're a nice, fast, zippy little ship.
I want a nice, fast, zippy little ship, I'll use an interceptor. Like, I guess they're good for some survivability aspects, but...
Well, they've got more firepower as well, but...
True. But would they survive against the gang of ships attacking a miner?
But NPCs, maybe. But I know what you mean. But I think it was actually picked for its coolness in looking.
Well, there's also the whole irony aspect of it, too. Get it? Lone wolf?
Yeah, that's true as well. Mm. But, I mean, let's face it, it wouldn't have quite the same effect if he trundled up in a Tristan, would it? That would just be a bit more comical. If he trundled up in Dommy, God forbid. that wouldn't be quite as cool, really.
Yeah. Wolf's probably your best bet for that whole thing, really, but...
You know what I'd actually have picked if it was up to me?
What would you have picked if it was up to you, Urban?
Crusader. That is a sexy ship.
That is a pretty cool-looking ship.
Yeah, the way the two catamaran hulls are and stuff, really sexy ship.
I don't know why you're down on, like, the Tristan. That's always a neat one.
Batman.
Exactly. No, I mean, like, in general, though, it's a cool design. It's pretty, I haven't flown one in, like, God, it has got to be years. Other than, like, the Nemesis, which is a variant. But, they're kind of neat little ships. Got an odd balance of weapons, though, on it, so, yeah.
But probably not what they wanted for the video, but then again, what do we know? Because, you know, we know nothing.
Yes, maybe they tried it with a whole bunch of different ships and said, you know what, the wolf looks cooler.
Wolf does look very, very cool. I love the bit when it goes off to, like, go to its guns and little bits of info coming off that. Very sexy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were like, hey, when are you putting that, you know, in the game?
Never, that would be.
A lot of people were commenting that there was some kind of holographic UI. I'm like, actually, I believe it was just post-processing effects on the actual video. Like, just making everything...
It's called Adobe After Effects, people.
Exactly. So, it's not like they invented some new UI and you know, did something really clever with it. It's just, I think they're just giving a little bit of bloom on the screen. Additional bloom. Just so everything looks all glowy and stuff. So, but it did look cool.
Yeah, very, very sexy video. And yeah, as I said, you know what it actually reminds me a little bit of? You remember the Goon Swarm Every Ship Counts advertising campaign? You remember that, though?
Yeah, that's going back a bit.
I know it's going back some ways, but you can kind of see where I'm coming from with that, I hope.
I can.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I think this is a very smart move by CCP, and I also think it's a very, very smart marketing plan. You know, because, you know, alright, you can do all the stuff about roleplay, but every game's got a backstory, every game's got some quite cool-looking graphics, apart from World of Warcraft, when they just had to show Mr. T or William Shatner, and as little as a game as possible in those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, you know what I mean. Every game's got this. This is a thing which EVE has, which is the fact that it is a sandbox, it is an open universe, but it doesn't have all the completely weird, messed-up stuff you get in Second Life.
Yay, Second Life. Oh, speak of the devil, a wolf appears above our jump bridge.
One of yours?
Yes.
Oh, right.
I was just thinking this could be one of these butterfly effect type of things, and then you use a jump bridge, and then a nemesis blows you up with a bomb.
I don't think they'll advertise that, to be honest. Yes, you can. Somebody will just suddenly appear and blow you up, and oh look, you now need to buy a new ship.
And then a Tyrannus flies by 5 seconds too late.
Yes. Shouting, damn, I could have got him.
Yes, exactly. And he's just sitting there. Is he asking for it?
Anyway, do we have anything else to talk about?
That's all I have.
All I have as well. So, see you next week, hopefully. For those who don't know, I'm actually going to be away on a little while for a training course. I'm told that the hotel we're going to does have broadband, so it should work, but there might be a few technical issues. But, you know, I'm really planning to get a show out, because apart from anything else, when you're away from home on a training course, you've got two options, which is, you know, play some EVE and, you know, do the podcast, or get absolutely bloody trolleyed in the bar every night. And I don't think my wallet and my liver can stand that.
Never underestimate your liver, man.
I overestimate my wallet far too much, though.
Yeah, well, you're all guilty of that one.
Yep. The company's good at paying for food and hotels and stuff. That's great. But they draw the line about paying for beer, you know, beer sessions.
Yeah, fancy that.
I think only CCP will do that for you.
Oh, God, if only. Oh, well. No, but anyway. That's... Yeah, well, I hope you have fun with that. And again, hope we can get together there and get a podcast out next week. I think everyone would like that.
Absolutely, and thanks very much to LaVista and everybody else who helped doing the show.
Yes, all the little contributors out there, you come in handy.
Anyway, see you next week, guys.
Yep, bye, safe ish.
Station announcer.
Dude.